The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 2nd, 2023 edition of the National Intel Report. I am your host for this Tuesday, Michael Herzog, as always, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, the title for this evening's broadcast, Gaslighting Us Into the Twilight, and There's No Repentance in Sight. Tell the truth, folks, it'll never happen. These people will double down with their lies until this planet, if need be, is a reckless abandon. Before I get started, I want to make a quick announcement. I want to thank you, all of you out there who visited our website, naturalearthmedicine.com, and for those who actually ordered something. That's cool, because anything you order from that website, RBN shares in the profits of. Okay, so I just want to reiterate that. NaturalHealthMedicine.com. The wands are on there. The soap is on there. The lotion is on there. I really love that lotion. It's great. Really smooths out your skin, folks. Anyway, so, yes, those of us with eyes to see, to carry the blessing, also with the burden of a curse. All of us that have those eyes to see, we carry the blessing of a curse as well. For it's a godsend to know when we, as a people, are being gaslighted. But it's a shame that we must endure watching the majority of our fellow Americans, and the world for that matter, continually falling prey to their heinous crimes against humanity. Now, RBN put up a post the other day that I actually got the time to watch, and it's called Your Guide to Fifth Generation Warfare. And it's narrated by James Corbett. Remember him, the Corbett Report? He's the guy that did that 5 minutes, the synopsis 5 minutes on 9/11, which I thought was pretty funny. That was years ago. But I would strongly suggest you all watch it, as it explains in detail what we who can see have known or suspected for quite a while. And I'm going to cover a little bit of that tonight on the broadcast. But again, to get into deep detail about it and have him explain it better than I can, actually, go in there and watch the video. So James Corbett covers a number of tools, i.e. weapons, they are using in their relentless attack. And they include the weapon of biological warfare. We've all seen that being played out for the last few years, haven't we? Our food supply, we've seen that for many years, modified with GMO, the mRNA and the DNA and genetically modified adenovirus vector vaccines that have been, well, pretty much normalized over the past few years. Reprogramming the software for life, actually. The push towards genetic lab-based foods, funded by the usual billionaire suspects, weaning humanity off the natural abundance of the earth and making us dependent on the increasing, shrinking number of companies for our food supply, which is, in this researcher's opinion, the real reason we are seeing so many food processing plants mysteriously burning down, to drive us into, as James Corbett puts it, a sort of a Soylent Green future. Now, James also covers the economic warfare, describing the planner's, as you would say, problem, reaction, and predetermined solution. Of course, that being a CBDC or central bank digital currency for their end game, of the most important resource of all, your wallet, and the total control of it through CBDC, central bank digital currency. The real war, the fifth generation war, is a war for full spectrum dominance throughout the planet and on every battlefield, and has been carefully planned through its respective pieces to arrive at their end goal. At the end of the day, it is a war on you. It's a war on me. It's a war on all of us, folks. And according to Corbett, the only way for us to win this war is not to play. That means to decouple ourselves from every aspect of their giant spider web, if you will, from the medical, which I'm going to get into here a little bit later, from the technological, the biological, and the economic. All of these are tools or weapons that they have used and are using to completely enslave us. Now, there have been many casualties in this fifth generation war. Millions worldwide, folks, whether it be through the COVID vaccines or whether it be through the basically the slaughter, if you will, of Ukraine soldiers, feeding them into a meat grinder for, well, pieces of the puzzle. Let's just leave it at that. Millions worldwide, though, have lost their lives over the past few years over this. And I personally have been witness to and experienced the loss of friends, of colleagues, of neighbors, and recently the death of my only sibling. And I'm going to expound on that a little bit shortly. This war is being waged on us with a weapon never before able to be used by the aggressor, and that being plausible deniability. While they continue to financially entice the medical profession to commit murder under the guise of saving lives. A few examples of this. Now, this one that I'm going to give you can be found on the RBN website, and it's titled "A Heartless Medical System," and it's by Paul Craig Roberts. I've evidently reposted this as an Epoch Times article, and this is just last week. But the audacity of this is just unconscionable, folks. A 41-year-old mother of seven young children has been, in effect, condemned to death by Emory Healthcare Incorporated of Atlanta, an affiliate of Emory University, for refusing to take the COVID-19 shot. This lady was approved for a kidney transplant, but was removed from the list when she refused the COVID jab. The woman has had COVID and is protected by natural immunity. Moreover, there are many medical scientists who believe the adverse effect of the COVID mRNA vaccine would attack her kidney and kill her. Only about one-third of America's transplant centers are still so medically ignorant of the mRNA vaccine danger or corrupted by big pharma payments as to continue to require patients to submit to COVID vaccinations in order to receive health care. And Emory Healthcare is in this minority that requires patients to take enormous risks in order to receive treatment. And it seems clear enough that Emory Healthcare is, well, pretty much committing willful murder. But prosecutors are too busy putting Trump supporters in prison for attending a rally to really pay attention to any real crimes. There's little doubt that Emory graduates and the Robert W. Woodruff Foundation will continue to to pour money into a heartless facility that has no qualms about murdering a mother of seven kids. Folks, this is America today. It's a place of satanic evil. It's been unleashed. And I often wonder about CERN, you know, the stories that went around about them looking for the, what is it, the God particle and what they may have unleashed, you know? I don't know. But you may recall, it was a week or two ago on my broadcast, that I had mentioned my daughter's neighbor who went to a hospital for circulation problems in his leg. They did surgery on this man, and they removed part of his leg. They determined that it didn't solve the problem and wound up removing his leg from the knee down. They released him from the hospital and scheduled him for immediate physical therapy. And on his first visit, he mysteriously became extremely ill and was again admitted to the hospital, where he was transported to Tucson Medical Center, where he died about 10 days later. Now, this explanation was reminiscent of what happened to the manager of the resort of which I was staying. I had recently moved, I think I told you that, folks. But the manager of the resort of which I had been staying for 2.5 years, same thing happened. I mentioned that in a broadcast last year. The similarities are uncanny. She went to the same hospital. She tested positive for COVID, was sent home, and a few days later, she became very ill. They readmitted her, transported her to Scottsdale, and she too died, guess what, 10 days later. The question is, were the same Fauci protocols used with each of them? I would venture to say yes. Now, before I get into the strange death and the circumstances surrounding my sister, I'll share this with you. You remember Philip Zelikow? He was one of the committee members of the 9/11 commission that was put in place to supposedly get to the bottom of the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center. And I recall reporting many years ago when I looked him up on Wikipedia, which, by the way, it's all gone now for some reason, that his expertise was in the perpetration of myths. In other words, creating a believable narrative that the public would consume, even if it's untrue. Well, we all know that the 9/11 Commission report was a complete joke, and it was Philip Zelikow that was the head orchestrator of that report. Well, guess what, folks? They've done it again. The usual suspects hiring the usual so-called expert to spoon-feed the public a lot of complete garbage to make it plausible for a diminishing trusting public. And I say diminishing because more and more people are waking up. But I want you to listen to this, folks. This is, I grabbed this out of the Truth Seeker, April 27, 2023. Thanks to Peter in LA for this. Now, I'm going to share this in its entirety because, well, it's important. Last November, Philip Zelikow and the COVID crisis group that they put together published a 352-page book called Lessons from a COVID War. Ring a bell? 9/11 Commission Report? Lessons from a COVID War, an investigative report. The book went on sale on April 23rd, last month, and was launched April 24th in a five-hour presentation at the National Academy of Medicine in Washington, D.C. The launch of the book has lately gotten attention in the news by its emphasis on war. The book inadvertently confirms recent evidence uncovered by Sasha Ladapova and Catherine Watt that the COVID PSYOP was not a supposed public health emergency, but a type of wait for it, folks, because this is what James Corbett mentioned, but a type of fifth-generation warfare carried out by the United States Department of Defense against U.S. citizens and, of course, much of the rest of the world, in collusion with many other governments. There's that term again, fifth-generation warfare. So, who is Philip Zelikow? Well, as I said, he was the director of the so-called 9/11 Commission appointed by the George W. Bush administration in 2002. He was the editor of the resulting 9/11 Commission report. He was and still is a University of Virginia history professor said to specialize in public myths and the effect of catastrophic terrorism in making abrupt changes in of the course of human history. Now, as we know, both myth and terror were in full display in the 9/11 and the COVID operations. And Zelikow was among the neocons in the Project for a New American Century, which said in its Rebuilding America's Defenses, September 2000, that it would take a new Pearl Harbor to motivate the American public to support the militarily aggressive U.S. global hegemony that the project called for. And as we know, exactly a year later, 9/11 provided the neocon-controlled U.S. government with a pretext for just such aggression against a list of Arab and Muslim countries that did not threaten U.S. hegemony, but did happen to be enemies of the state of, guess who? Israel, which the neocons happened to adamantly support. Oh, so many coincidences. And 20 years later, Zelikow was called in for another cover-up, this time unofficially. Under Zelikow's guidance, 9/11 was painted as a series of, oh, tragic failures by the U.S. government. Remember that? The Pentagon, NORAD, and U.S. intelligence agencies all failed to either predict or prevent the hijacking of four passenger airliners by 19 nefarious hijackers. And using that same formula again, Zelikow assembled a group of 34 academic, medical, and government apologists, the COVID crisis group, to write the authoritative report on the U.S. handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. And once again, the entire U.S. government was, according to them, totally blindsided. It was found woefully inept, oh, incompetent, and completely unprepared to deal with this terrible, out-of-nowhere attack. Zelikow and his hand-picked authors leave no stone unturned in pointing out the failures of almost all the measures of that a helpless Uncle Sam took to deal with the pandemic. And the problems listed by Zelikow's mainstream mouthpieces were, oh, operational challenges, lack of preparedness, policy failures, ignorance of the source of SARS-CoV-2, the failure of, guess who, Trump's leadership in Operation Warp Speed, a fragmented healthcare system, and poor communication, which led to poor vaccine uptake, and a failure to prevent people led astray by misinformation. The solution offered by the crisis group, organized from the top down, globally. Is that a straw in the cap of the WHO? Remember that treaty that they're all putting forward, that the WHO's going to get control of all this? Yes. Organized from the top down globally with a single authority for the next predicted pandemic. I hear the music. I'll be back in three. More to come. I think I hear the music. Do I hear the music, Jenny? Julie? Yes, I do. Be back in three, folks. Stick around. More to come.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis. So
even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Walk me out in the morning dew, Bonnie. Please walk me out in the morning dew sometime.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Yeah, please walk me out in the morning, do, and ask Scotty to beam me up if you would. Back to Philip Zelikow. You know, he says it's the failure to prevent people from being led astray by misinformation. He's talking about us. He's talking about the people that are telling the truth. And the solution that was offered by him and his band of gypsies, organized from the top down globally with a single authority. What he's basically saying, I mean, and again, he goes on to say, for the next predicted pandemic, much like what we're hearing from the World Health Organization, right? This is not new thinking. It's a copy and paste of the globalist agenda. Zelikow's solution, according to this report, give all the authority to Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. That'll solve it, folks. Meanwhile, the mind-numbed, mesmerized, hypnotized public is still being gaslighted. The strategy for covering up an attack by the U.S. government on U.S. citizens is to make it look like the government was a victim of the attack, just like in 9/11, not the perpetrator. And that lie is facilitated by what sounds like a tough critique of government incompetence, crafted by the same people who were involved in the crime. This is like letting a murderer off the hook by hearing nothing but his apology for serious and reprehensible failures in stopping the murder and forgetting that he committed the murder. And of course, Zelikow's exhaustive report passed over the pre-planning, the trail of predictive pharma patents, the economic devastation. Didn't say a word about that. The economic devastation, the gigantic upward transfer of wealth, the government corruption, the psychological harm, the extensive injury to human health, the thousands of deaths, millions actually, caused by the U.S. response to COVID-19, all of it deliberate, I might add. And the report starts with the premise that a never-before-seen virus attacked us all at once and nobody knew what to do about it. This is more or less how Zelikow and his previous stable of authors said 9/11 happened. Our innocent nation was attacked from out of the blue. We were caught totally unaware. And it is interesting to see how the public myth and the catastrophic event intertwine. Now, Zelikow is not just an academic observing that catastrophic terror changes history. He is an advisor to people who want to change history by creating catastrophic terror. He almost certainly advises on how to do it. And not only has he nicely tied his two academic theses together, he has won handsome rewards and respectability and completed the major deception of being the one to write the official history of the operations his handlers planned. Zelikow is the consummate insider, folks. Had he not appeared with this cover-up, masquerading as an earnest critique, he might have missed seeing that the neocons had to be involved in the COVID operation just as they were in 9/11. And the project for a new American century was not a plan for a robust American empire. Just the opposite. It was a plan to use the United States and its people as pawns, just like they did in COVID, in what was really the project for a new world order. America's contribution to that was to let itself be robbed physically, morally, and spiritually by a parasite class whose goals for control of the world can't even be understood as human. Indeed, folks, transhumanism is a stated goal of these people. And Zelikow has tipped his hat with this monstrosity of establishment lies. He has announced that he is involved, despite no one asking, as we can infer from this that the neocons were also involved. The wicked run when no one is chasing them, says the proverb. With all the power the neocons wield, most notable today in the Victoria Nuland and Antony Blinken-led attack on Russia, the neocons must, of course, be connected with the would-be masters at Davos. How clever this clique must think they are to have fooled the whole world. And with such arrogance, think about it. How hard would be the fall if indeed we were actually able to expose them, which is what we've been trying to do for years on this network. Got to take a break. We'll be back in three. I got another one for you. Then I'm going to tell you about my sister. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
The National Intel Report that you're tuned into, and you just heard that from whoever that guy was that said you're tuned into, the National Intel Report. So, yes, you are, and here I am. Anyway, that report that I just gave you on Philip Zelikow is posted on the RBN website. It's called Philip Zelikow's COVID Cover-Up, for any of you that wants to read it or share it with your friends, neighbors, and relatives. And then there's this one, folks, also posted on the RBN website, titled, Will There Ever Be Accountability for Mass Murder by COVID Vaccine? And this is by Paul Craig Roberts. It's dated April 30th, just a couple of days ago. And interestingly enough, he alludes to an article that was put out by the Epoch Times that ABC, CBS, CNN, all of the, you know, usual media suspects, refused to air RFK Jr.'s comments about the COVID-19 vaccines.
I wonder why.
You think it might have anything to do with all that money they're getting from these pharmaceutical companies, folks? I think, maybe. Anyway, Paul says, here we have more conclusive proof of Tucker Carlson's reporting that ABC, NBC, CNN, and the rest of the whore media, and I emphasize whore media, are loyal to their profits and not to the truth, because the prostitutes are paid millions of dollars in big pharma advertising
for the purpose of suppressing all the truth about COVID and the alleged vaccines. I'm going to include Sean Hannity in that because I've seen figures that he makes $39 million a year, most of which comes from Pfizer. And we should believe him. He's not a shill, folks. No independent medical scientist that I know of supports a word of the official narrative. All who are not employed by Big Pharma or have no grants from Big Pharma or have no consultancies with Big Pharma, they understand that the mRNA vaccines are more deadly than the COVID virus. The horror media keeps telling us that COVID killed millions of Americans and we must all have shots and endless boosters to stay alive. In effect, the media whores are killing people for profit, along with those hospitals. And we're being gaslighted along the way. Well, not us folks, but the mind-numb public that, you know, absorbs this stuff, drinks the Kool-Aid on the nightly news. Almost the only people who died from COVID were the elderly with prior morbidities who were denied treatment until it was too late, denied seeing their family members too, denied letting their family members come to a funeral, remember that? And then the corporate medicine hospitals killed them with ventilators. Remember that term, ventilators, because it's going to come back in a little while here. Corporate medicine, totally controlled, folks, by Big Pharma, prevented their doctors from saving lives with known cures, such as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And those media whores wrote, what's that girl's name? The bisexual? Oh, Rachel Maddow. Remember her? Those media whores, along with her, wrote that ivermectin was horse medicine and that hydroxychloroquine was unapproved by the FDA. Now, I'm not going to say that ivermectin wasn't horse medicine because they use it on horses, but it also comes in pill form because I have four boxes of it right here in front of me. And that HCQ was unapproved by the FDA, that's complete nonsense. Both medicines have been in use for decades and have a perfect safety record. And both are widely used in Africa, as well as other countries, by the way, as a preventative against river blindness and malaria. And both have been successfully used in many countries as preventatives and cures for COVID. In Africa, from what I understand, folks, ivermectin is just like aspirin. They take that, you know, it's just like we would take an aspirin tablet. Yes. ABC, NBC, CNN, New York Times, NPR, Washington Post lied through their teeth, killing large numbers of people for the sake of their advertising revenues from Big Pharma, from the FDA, the NIH, and the CDC. And they're all of these people are marketing agents for Big Pharma. They don't regulate the industry. They protect the industry. And anyone who relies on the prostitute media is guilty of brainwashing themselves while they're being gaslighted and don't even know it. It is a crime that fear was used to cause Americans to murder themselves along with their families and their children. And if Americans can so easily be deceived and driven to self-destruction, you have to ask yourself, folks, how can this once great country even continue to exist? Tucker Carlson's firing by Fox News is further proof, along with the false Russiagate, you know, the document gate, the insurrection gate, the stripper gate, charges against President Trump, Julian Assange's decades-long imprisonment in violation of due process, the eviction of Matt Taibbi, I believe, from Rolling Stone, Glenn Greenwald from The Intercept, and James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, that the corrupt ruling elites are determined that no truth be permitted to reach the American population. Paul Craig Roberts gives kudos and says bravo to Tucker Carlson. Now, Moving on. I said that to say this. The strange and curious, completely unexpected death of my sister. Now, folks, I've held off on this. This happened a couple of months ago, and I chose not to share this with you because I was in the process of, well, grieving the death of my only sibling. But also, you know, and I'm sure that most of you, if not all of you, have experienced this at one time or another. You reflect back on your own mortality, and you start thinking of things you could have said, would have said, should have said, you know, things that you should have shared and didn't, or could have shared and wouldn't, or whatever. And I went through that. You might notice, you know, a couple of weeks in, I wasn't really myself all that much because I had a lot on my mind. Still going through it, folks. Still going through the aftermath of this tragic event. But let me tell you a little bit about her. My sister was a recluse in the real sense of the word, folks, because she suffered from panic attacks that started at an early age. And in the past 20 years, she only went public twice. She only came out of her abode two times. And both times were to the same hospital. Her live-in boyfriend took care of any and all outside errands, and she took no medication because she didn't trust doctors. Can't say I blame her for that. On Wednesday, March 1st, at 4:57 p.m., my sister was suffering from shortness of breath, and when her boyfriend asked if she wanted him to call 911, she, unlike herself, reluctantly agreed. He told me later that he knew she was having serious difficulty, as he basically was shocked at her answer. But within 30 minutes, an ambulance arrived with three paramedics, big guys. They entered the home with an oxygen mask and what is called a mega mover, which is nothing more than basically a plastic cot that the instructions require four people to operate. Now, the first question that comes to mind is why they used this other than a gurney. It's still in question to this day. There were only three guys, not four, according to her boyfriend. They treated her very roughly. They juggled her around to get her on the cot. Then they bumped her repeatedly on the way out the door. He told me all of this as he watched helplessly upon her exit, that on her way out, she pleaded with him, not them, but him, to help her. She didn't want to go. Shortly after that, her eyes rolled back in her head, and she was placed in the ambulance. And knowing my sister all my life and what she suffered from, this event alone likely scared her to death. Her boyfriend went to the hospital, and he stayed until 9:50 p.m. In doing so, he caught one glimpse of her before he left, and he told me that they had five drips going on her all at the same time. He asked them to update him via phone call if her status changed, because he was basically told to leave. And even though he asked them to update if the status changed, they never called him. I was awakened by a call from him at 11 p.m. the following night. He was beside himself in grief that he had to call them. And that's when they informed him that she had passed away. No one knew when at the time. No one knew how. No one knew why, as they never told him. Since he was no legal relation, they told him nothing. The next morning, I was on the phone with the hospital trying to speak with the attending nurse, and I was informed that he worked nights and I would have to call back that evening. But in the meantime, I was instructed by the nurse that I did speak with to contact a funeral home immediately, as if the hospital had to move the body for lack of space, they would charge me an additional $400 for the service. And when I asked that nurse to provide the treatment protocols, she informed me that my sister's chart was already gone. She provided me a number to contact the attending physician, and she would tell me. The attending physician would tell me. So I called that number. I was scolded by a nurse advising me that I had reached the intensive care unit, and they were too busy saving lives to talk to me and hung up on me. Meanwhile, that evening, when I did reach the attending nurse, he advised me that the cause of death wasn't a heart attack and was not COVID-related, because I asked. The next night, I received a phone call from a deputy sheriff, Mazzola, who was inquiring of me exactly who was my sister's primary care provider, as the attending physician, for some strange reason, would not sign off on a cause of death. I informed Deputy Mazzola that she didn't have an attending, or she didn't have a family doctor, because she didn't trust doctors. And this is when he told me that, number one, if I couldn't provide one, it would cost me an additional $400 for the coroner to examine her. And also, by the way, under California law, I am legally responsible for all her bills, and if I didn't pay them, it was a crime under California Penal Code. And when I asked him how she died, Deputy Mazzola answered that it was a tumor. Now, I tried calling him back the next morning for further clarification, and strangely, the number he called me from was disconnected. I then called the coroner's office and spoke to the assistant coroner, and it was her that advised me that my sister had passed away at precisely 10:04 p.m., the same night she was brought into the emergency room. She also told me that my sister had died of cardiac arrest from septic shock caused by an acute duodenal perforation of unknown etiology. And she also advised me that the good deputy had found a doctor that would sign off on the cause of death. And when I asked who that might be, she said, well, it's the same doctor he found on one of my sister's prescription bottles. The irony in this, folks, my sister didn't take any prescription medication. So where did the deputy find that? The attending physician that pronounced her dead at 10:04 p.m. that night, less than 5 hours, by the way, after her acceptance into the emergency room, refused to sign off on a cause of death. Instead, this deputy found a doctor whose name was allegedly on a bottle of pharmaceutical pills that were never prescribed, as my sister didn't take medication. Where did those pills come from? They didn't come from her house, as no one visited the residence during this time, other than the paramedics, and they were too busy shuffling her around to get her out the door. And even if they did, they would not have found any such animal because none of them existed. Is it even possible that a person could be prescribed and receive a bottle of pills while unconscious in an emergency ward? I think not. Who was this doctor? Why would the attending physician, the one being a witness to my sister's death, refuse to sign a cause of death? From the time of her admission to her announcement of her demise was less than 5 hours. In that time, they managed to admit her to the hospital as an inpatient and rack up the following charges on the bill that I received in the mail, dated, the date on the bill is March 9th, 2023. I received it probably about a week later. I had her boyfriend forwarded it to me, But keep in mind, folks, and I'm going to share this with you after the break. Keep in mind, all of what I'm about to share with you happened in less than 5 hours, according to the hospital. Now, I'm going to open the phone lines in the second hour, but I want you to tell me, am I being a conspiracy theorist here? I don't know. I've pondered this. I've pondered many things over the course of this past 2 months. Got to take a break. We'll be back in three, and I'm going to itemize exactly what they charged her for in this less than 5 hour period of time. Be right back. Packaging is all that heaven is. Got the little black car, the little black special. Got the guru and the trainer and the full course special. Got the software, hard drive, CD-ROM. We got the exploitation.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
All right, folks, we're back for the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host. Okay, so, again, I want to remind you, from the time of my sister's admission or acceptance into the emergency room, along with an admission to the hospital, until her death was less than 5 hours. Now, keep that in mind. And remember, according to the hospital, which the attending physician wouldn't sign off on the cause of death, the one doctor that did, mysteriously, was on a bottle of medication that my sister never had. So, let's start with blood. Remember, she passed away of a heart attack. supposedly. Blood, $660. A CT scan, $12,504. Cardiology, $2,113. An EKG/EEG, $566. The emergency room, $8,416. An intensive care unit, $13,219. Lab, $8,632. Medical and surgical supplies and devices, $185.40. Operating room services, $1,509. Pharmacy, $3,614.67. Radiology, $711. And here's the big one, folks. Respiratory services, a ventilator, $5,293. Why would you put somebody that was suffering a cardiac arrest, or what's the technical term for it? I don't know what I did with the death certificate sitting around here somewhere. Why would you put them on a ventilator? In less than 5 hours, folks, the total bill, $57,423.07. Now tell me, is that even possible? Respiratory services, a ventilator. Why would you put a cardiac victim on a ventilator? None of this makes any sense to me. And by the way, the only way I can obtain a copy of the protocols and the treatment procedures is through a court-ordered subpoena. And by the way, that evening, I was able to speak with that attending nurse who was aware that she died. But he told me it wasn't a heart attack and that COVID wasn't involved. So my question is it just me? Am I just overly suspicious by nature? And should I accept all of this convoluted, obvious cover-your-arses gobbledygook and say, oh, well, nothing to see here, and move on? 20 years ago, I went through the same thing with my late mother because her death coincided almost to the day that her money was exhausted. She died of pneumonia just days after the nursing home gave her what they called a preventative pneumonia shot. And at that time, I did hire a law firm and had the medical records subpoenaed. Unfortunately, at the end of the day, after they allegedly extensively reviewed the case, talking about the law firm here, the law firm said they found nothing unusual and I had no case. Cost me better than $1,500 for them to tell me that. Top of the hour break coming up. We'll be back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. Phone lines are open. 512-248-8252. I'll tell you what the nurse said when I called the billing department when we get back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.